Tuesday, November 5th. This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 76 for Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. This is Brian.
Are you sure? I'm Lisa. I don't know.
This is the Anderson Penn's Radio Network.
Having a special guest just totally messes with you, doesn't it?
Google Plus is killing me here. Wow. Killing me. We do have there we go. I'm all flustered now. We have a very special guest this evening. In the house. Our very own Mr. Ben Mayhorder.
Hey guys. Thank you.
I love that thing.
Applause is wonderful.
No, you deserve like people just walking behind you and just clapping twice a year.
I prefer people in front of me dropping rose petals.
Nicely done. Nice. Awesome. All right. So we've actually talked about you before. I don't know if you know that.
God, what was the subject?
It usually involved pen shows and auction and pens without nibs. For Brian, not for you. So.
Well, for those who don't know, Ben is part of the royal family, as it were.
Hence the rose petals.
And the palm fronds being waved, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. The guys without shirts, you know, the whole thing. Guys
without shirts. Oh, my. Where? Oh, sorry. I'm married now.
I'm totally right off my game here.
You are. So we have a special guest, Ben Mayhorder of the royal family of pen show peeps. Can I say that?
Sure.
I think he just did. All right. So Ben and his family, his father, and brother. Is there anyone else I'm missing? Terry.
Well, the wives. Never discount the wives.
Well, my mom was okay. One of the original heiresses to the throne.
Sonny and was great.
My wife, Julie, also is a staunch supporter of the shows whenever she can make it. So.
And we're grateful that she lets you there.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
And of course, we're referring to one of my favorite shows, the Ohio Pen Show, as well as Raleigh, in North Carolina, so the Triangle Pen Show. But if I'm not mistaken, Ohio's been around a lot longer than the Raleigh Show.
Yeah, we've been doing Ohio since like 95.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Now you guys have been doing it since 95, or it's been around since 95?
We've been doing it since 95. It was before we took it over. Well, there was actually a 3-year gap. But before we took the show over in Ohio, Bob Johnson of DC Super Show fame was running the show there. It technically was not in Ohio. He was... running the show.
Well, the DC show is not really in DC either, so.
Well, yeah. All things are relative.
Okay. Are relative. Where was it before Dublin?
Well, it was down in Kentucky, believe it or not, but it was just on the other side of the Ohio River.
The Ohio Pen Show was in Kentucky?
Yeah. Well, you know.
So okay. Confusing. I have to know enough about pens, and now I got to know geography.
Oh, well.
Yeah. All right, so since 95, so that is 18 years.
It is 18 years. Yeah.
That's good.
Long time.
Well, my daughter was born in 95, so that's the only reason I know that. All right. Wow. Now, have you always collected pens? Did Terry just give them to you when he was done with them, or how did that all come to be?
It's an interesting question, and I think originally I would not have called myself a collector by any stretch of the imagination. Strictly what it was for me personally was just a business. You know, how I got involved with the pen business was Dad was a general line antique dealer. And so as a kid,
which he still is, right?
Yeah, he still does a lot of general line antiques in addition to the focus on the pens. And so as a kid, you know, I had to go with him to these, like, flea markets and antique shows. And, you know, he'd load me up in the van at 4 in the morning and we'd, you know, go all over. We'd drive up to Ann Arbor, Michigan, over to Pennsylvania to the Renegers and Massachusetts for the big Brimfield shows up there on the coast, East Coast. And so from a young age, I was exposed to, like, different pen people always coming by the van, you know, at 5 and 6 and 7 in the morning. And that's, you know, back when I was, like, 8, 9, and 10 years old, you know, Gary Lear would come by the van with his satchel full of pens, and, you know, he'd buy whatever Dad had at that moment. And, you know, I remember going to Washington Courthouse as a small kid and having Dick Johnson come by the van and striking up a conversation with Dad and wanting to buy pens. And so it was an incredible kind of like, I hate to use the word fraternity because it's obviously not.
But it was in the beginning.
Yeah, I think it kind of was, and I think that was why I gravitated towards it, because the people that came by to buy pens from Dad, you know, they would stay and they would talk, and you know, they'd ask me what I was into and all that kind of stuff. So, I think my initial kind of affinity for pens was less about the pens themselves and more about like the ability to, like, you know, just talk with somebody about something interesting, new and different. Mm-hmm. I think I really got hooked into the idea of buying and selling pens, which is kind of, I think I consider myself more of a pen dealer than a pen collector. Although I noticed that as I've gotten older, that tendency is starting to change a little bit, to my wife's chagrin. I will occasionally buy pens that I shouldn't buy because I like them.
Well, do you suppose some of that is, now you see, and we'll get into this in a bit, but you see a lot of pens. You see more pens than
the average person.
The average guy. You know, being with your father and what you do for the show, do you suppose some of it at this point now is after all these years, you know, whatever this pen is here, it's going to be a long time till you see it again.
Was that a Pelican 400?
It's a 200.
200.
Or 150 or something.
That's a perfect example. You put a Pelican in front of me, I can't tell you exactly what model it is. But, you know.
Where'd you get the Pelican?
Yeah, Brian. Nice pen.
Oh, crap, I'm busted. How about this one?
Dude, where'd you get the pen? We're going to a show this week.
You got a bunch of Pelicans on my desk here.
I know. Yeah.
So anyway, is that a fair statement, or is it just because?
I'll be honest with you, Brian. What was your question?
The question was, are you jaded?
No. My question was, is, you know, you had mentioned that you're starting to. You're keeping a few pens now.
Right.
Much to your wife's chagrin. And my question was, is do you think that's because of all the pens that you see you realize when you come across something, it may be very difficult to find that pen again?
I think that's a very good question. And I think I would say yes. I would say yes to that question because, and especially now, like when I was growing up and, like, I told you, going to a flea market at 5:30 and having whoever come around the van.
That's way early.
Were there, like, trench coats involved with this van? I mean, I just see, like, in the back of the van.
No trench coats, no, like, ham radio guys in the back.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, no satellite dishes on top. It was strictly you know, straight ahead van. You know, back in those days, they're literally, you could go to a flea market or an antique show and come away with, like, you know, a coffee can size bundle of pens. The first pen I ever bought and sold was a mint Onyx Patrician. And I paid $6 for it.
Oh my God.
I think I was 8 years old when I bought it. Okay?
You suck.
I'm going to be before I can find one that I can afford.
Yeah, I brought this pen back to the van and showed my dad with, you know, great excitement, and he offered me $150 for it.
Now, did you know what it was?
Your dad?
Yeah, my dad offered me $150. Now, this was, you know, this was back when MTV was still playing music videos. So awesome. That gives you a sense. Probably like 85, 86, somewhere in there. Maybe a little bit before that. But, you know, I paid $6. So I had
you just bought it because it was $6? Did you know what it was?
I knew. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I knew it was a Patrician. Yeah.
Okay.
By that point. But I think that's what kind of got it, that kind of juices, got the juices flowing. And I've been a capitalist pig ever since.
Dude, you got totally ripped off.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
How long did it take your dad to sell the pen?
Listen, I've been making him pay for it ever since. So.
Well, I don't know how you do it, because you pretty much these days...
You see everything.
You see everything, and I don't want to say you run the auction, but you handle most of the auctions.
Runs the auction.
Do you mean, is that?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say I run the auction. I would say that I would say I handle a large part of the logistics behind the auction.
Okay.
Pen bodyguard.
I'm sort of the pen bodyguard. You know, I photograph, write up descriptions. Obviously, I do the viewings and stuff like that, but you know, it's funny. I tend to what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I tend to allow my kind of general spiritual philosophy in life to influence my detachment to certain things surrounding the show, like. You know, when you say, oh, you know, I kind of run the auction, my tendency is to say, well, you know, I'm just kind of the caretaker. And then, you know, we have people that will come up and say, oh, you guys run such a wonderful show. We want to thank you and all this. And I think similar to the show, the auction is kind of one of these things that I'm just kind of, you know, apart. I'm a variable in the equation, in the same way that, you know, because without you guys coming to the auction, you know, and participating as like, you know, buyers, you know,
1A and 1B.
Yeah.
We are entertaining.
Yeah. You know, I'm not trying to get too esoteric on you, but I feel like one thing that has kind of worked for us at the Ohio show is not really taking too much of the ownership of the show on ourselves. And so, yeah, we run it, but, you know, if you guys don't come, A, set up,
right.
B,
right.
You know, walk around the floor and spend money with the dealers, then there is no show.
Right.
So it's really an us thing, you know, it's you guys and us. And so... I hate to give you such a, you know, spiritually esoteric answer to that question, but I have to.
Well, you know, yeah, I know there's a lot that goes on, and just that I'm sure there's everybody helps. You're always the one that's sitting there behind the table,
yeah.
And every time I go and I look, and you always have that funny grin on your face, and I'll point to something.
Because he knows it's you, like, coming back to look at the same four pens.
Yeah.
You want to see the hard rubber eyedropper again, Brian?
Yeah, the one without the nib.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes he just doesn't even. He doesn't
he
even
just
say
takes
anything.
It out and hands it to you.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Twice.
We've always commented that Terry, your father, is like a congenial host.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that he organizes it. And he, I mean, he's got his clipboard and he's got his, you know, table layout and whatever. But yeah. He's, I don't know what he does, but he's always so calm.
Right.
And so, so quiet. Like, I've never heard him raise his voice.
That'll be a scary day when I hear that happen.
Yeah. Does he ever yell?
No, I mean, I think the only time he's ever really, I mean, he gets upset and he gets flustered behind the scenes, but you know, that's with us. You know, we're kind right. of the, you know, we're kind of the inner circle, for lack of a better term, and we understand that. You know, he's a Virgo. He's very organized.
Right. But he's always been very just such a congenial host. You feel like you've attended, I mean, it's obviously in a hotel and a big ballroom and all that, but it's more like you're at Terry's private place, and you know, you don't feel you're just a number, just a vendor, here's your table, goodbye.
Well, you know, that's I think that's our mission statement. You know, it's kind of for, you know, that's, and that was started by mom and dad together. Like, I think the idea was to make this show, and whatever show we do, you know, infuse it with that philosophy that we're not really running the show. Okay? I mean, yeah, we're paying the hotel for this, and we're calling the hotel to set this coffee station up, and we're, you know, we're making sure that the tables are right and all that, but, you know, we're just facilitators at the end of the day. And I think if you approach it that way, then there's a large amount of humility that can come with your interaction with other people. When you start assuming control of things and thinking that you're the one that's, you know, running the show, then you're losing touch with the, you know, the nuts and bolts of the show itself, which is the vendors. And the public that shows up. It's like I said, I mean, I could say it to my blue in the face. You don't come, there is no show.
Right. You guys do set, and we've said it before, and we'll always say it. I mean, we don't even...
the standard.
Yeah, you're the gold standard, really.
Yep.
Well, that's very kind of you.
For how a show should be put together, you know, if there's ever a problem, you know, Terry's there, you're there. The problem's taken care of, although I can't even remember the last problem we ever had.
Not enough cream puffs.
Yeah, those go fast, Lisa.
Bert Heiserman took them all the last time.
Rest in peace, Bert.
Yeah.
But no, you guys, everything is well organized. Yeah, there are other show organizers who are also vendors who do all the right things, but Terry, with your help, just makes it look so easy, yeah. And it's all just so controlled, and everything's taken care of.
I think he runs it. He runs it like he would want it to be run if he was there.
That's the key.
That's the key. You know, you have some of these other guys who run shows. There's a lot of good shows, but there are some that aren't run by people who regularly sit behind a table.
Well, I think the one thing I would say to that, Brian, is that I think, you know, without comparing shows, you know, the thing that's really important to people that go to a show, regardless of where it's at or who's running it, is that each show kind of has its own characteristic.
Absolutely. Yep.
And, you know, I think that's all we're focused on, really, is just trying to. It's like Lisa said, you know, when you come to our show, we want you to feel like you're coming into our living room.
Yep.
If it was, you know, filled with pens.
Is your living room filled with pens? That's really what I want.
It is, unfortunately, yeah, right now. There are a lot of pens in my living room. My dining room table has not seen the light of day for a little while.
Oh, that's totally awesome. I love that.
No. Now, I have a question for you, Ben.
Okay.
Personal question.
Yes.
Don't be scared. Do you have a Holy Grail pen? Like a pen you want, you look for, maybe you've seen one and didn't pull the trigger, but if you ever see it, you've already told Julia that I'm buying it no matter what kind of Holy Grail?
Julia.
Julie?
Yeah, Julie.
Sorry. Okay, sorry.
Julia is her, like, exotic alter ego. You can only call her that at the show after hours.
But only after a drink at the bar.
Yeah, during work hours, she goes by Julie.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay.
Note to self.
I just didn't want to perpetuate a myth that I had gotten divorced and married someone named Julia.
Okay. All right, so is there a pen that you've told Julie, if I ever see it, I don't care, it's coming home with me?
You know, I wouldn't tell her. I think if I had one Holy Grail pen, I hate to choose one. And it was actually a pen that we owned at one time.
Past tense?
Past
tense?
Yeah, we owned it at one point. It was a Waterman's 426, I believe, modeled hard rubber taper cap.
Sterling taper cap?
All right, wait. Everybody just take a moment and picture that. So a Waterman modeled hard rubber taper cap eyedropper?
Yeah. It was either a 6 or a 4 size. I can't remember, but
Was it filigree or is it a solid?
It was a filigree. It was the earliest fine silver filigree that they made.
Oh, fine silver. Oh, you're killing me, Smalls.
Brian, do you need a moment?
Yeah. I think I do.
Wow. So
filigree was over the cap too?
Oh, absolutely.
Because on those taper caps, that's very unusual.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it's so hard to get that metalwork around the cap. Wow.
Yeah, it's either the exact pen or a similar pen is pictured in Gary Lear's Waterman book.
Yeah. Six is, I think, the largest size in the taper cap.
Yeah, and I can't remember if it was a 6 or a 4. We had it for like, I don't know, a month. And it moved on. We had to pay some bill, I think.
Yeah. I can appreciate that. Yeah.
Like the down payment on the house.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah, wow. that's something. Because, you know, and not only is it just it being a number 6 size taper cap, but to be sterling over modeled hard rubber is very unusual.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Sounds gorgeous. Honey, Christmas is coming.
I'll pick something cheaper. How's
that? You want my address, Brian? Oh, you're talking between the two of you. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Okay, so how many pens do you have, would you say, roughly? You can fudge the number if you want.
That belong to me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Not very many. I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 300 pens.
Okay.
Now, some of the people in the chat are going to just think to themselves, oh, my God, someday I want 200 to 300.
Yeah, but, you know, my pens, see, that's the thing, is that, you know, my pens are... you know, either incomplete or, you know, they're taken apart because they're missing nibs.
Both of you just go to the rich lot and just buy a bunch of nibs and be done with it.
Say that one more time.
Most of my pens are incomplete or, you know, or they're like taken apart, like in process of getting repair. You know, the bulk of the pens I have around me belong to other people, you know.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I'm actually seeing somebody about it. Yeah.
Ben, I told you not to say anything about that.
I'm sorry.
About our sessions.
No, you cannot transfer them to Brian.
Oh, he's going to Saturday night. Okay. Well, 300 is a good number. I mean, it's also
probably. I mean, as much as you say that they're a work in progress and incomplete, but are they just waiting for nibs like Brian's? Or are they clipless? I mean, do they need work? Or did you just take them apart to clean them and they're going to be?
Most of them were just taken apart, you know, to be restored or cleaned or whatever. And so they're all laying in slaughter boxes, and, you know, it's in various and sundry positions of disarray.
Okay.
You know, if you buy eyedroppers, then you don't really need to have, you know, worry about the filling system.
Yeah, it's great. I love eyedroppers for that reason.
Yeah. All right, what else, Sam?
What else? Favorite pen? Do you have a favorite brand or a favorite, like Brian likes eyedroppers. I like pens with nibs.
I think my favorite brand of pen is probably LeBouf.
Ooh, vintage. Nice.
The vintage LeBouf.
It's just fun to say.
LeBouf.
Yeah. Yeah. The modern stuff is really.
It's different.
The only pen
the vintage stuff.
Ground up and used for pavement.
Well.
I'm sorry. Did I just say that on the air?
Behave.
Is LeBouf one of your sponsors, Brian?
LeBouf,
yeah,
no.
No.
Oh, they were.
No.
We're good.
Okay. Good.
So, yeah, LeBouf. Now. That's
I don't know much about them.
It's a tough brand. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of them out there. So, I mean, it's got to take a long time to get a decent, a reasonable collection of LeBouf, or a lot of money. I mean, one or the other.
Both. Money can take care of a lot of problems.
You know, there's a LeBouf barrel and nib in the auction this year.
There is a number 6 LeBouf Black and Pearl barrel in the auction.
So, and can we expect to see you bid on that, or?
I'll be bidding on a lot of stuff this year.
What? I think I would.
I'd love to
just say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, every year in the auction, and I don't know that we've ever told Terry this, but Terry is the best auctioneer.
He's great.
He really is.
He
keeps things moving, and people really should study him. But all the time on the margins of the paper, I write all the funny damn things he says.
Yeah.
You know, all the time. You know, it's just I can go back and I save all that stuff, so I can go back years and just all the funny stuff. Yeah, but you know, I think you should, or I think I would. You know,
I would have. Yeah. I think I would.
I think and, I would.
And even in.
I have higher numbers available.
When you're bidding and it reaches, let's say, $30 for those of you who aren't at the show, he'll sometimes, if he thinks that it should go higher, Terry will sometimes say, I do have higher numbers available, meaning keep bidding, it's worth more. Or sometimes Ben will be bidding and we'll stop, or someone else will bid and then reach a point and stop and, you know, say, well, I think I'm done, and Terry will say, I think I would. Meaning it's a nice pen, keep bidding, right. To the point where even at other auctions, like in, where were we, Philly?
We were in Chicago, I thought.
Different auctions. I've helped out at the front table, and a couple times I've even said, I think I would. And there's Terry kind of mentally in front of me.
Yeah, we should probably have some T-shirts made up.
I think I would.
Yeah.
I have higher numbers available.
Except I can't picture Terry in a T-shirt. He's always got on dress pants and a dress shirt. And
yeah, I try not to picture him in anything.
We won't go there. But
that's for another show.
That's a different show. That's the 9 o'clock show.
After hours. Yeah.
But you guys do it right, though. I love how on Saturday night...
You dessert totally party. Get us liquored up first.
Yeah, get us liquored up and then make us bid.
Sugar, the dessert party is killer. Those of you who either have never been or are considering going, you need to go. The dessert party rocks.
Yeah,
it's how many feet, Ben? It's like 3 or 4 tables?
Oh, no, it's like...
It's got to be 30 feet.
Yeah, well, you know, we read this book. I think the title was called... How to Get What You Want by Inducing Confection Coma. we placed the dessert party right before the auction just to, you know, get you all like in a stupor before you come over. There's got to be like, I think there's like 5-6 foot tables full of desserts.
Yeah, it is something.
And everything from cookies to pie to cake to... those awesome cream puffs, and there's
cheesecake.
Probably, oh yeah, yeah. Cake. And then at the very end, you have coffee, and you've got those adorable sticks with the rock sugar on them, the stirrers, and you've got Bailey's and amaretto and real whipped cream. I can't stress how awesome this is.
Yeah, it's something else. It's
and you can go back and forth, and of course it's right across from the auction room, so yeah, it's well placed. Smart move, well done.
So you do that, and then I don't know how you do it, and I looked at you guys uploaded the pictures about last week, I think it was, or maybe it's been 2 weeks. You know, short of the 1 year that you had all those, you know, the Parker 47, all the early Parker stuff.
The Aztec.
Yeah, this is, since we've been going, this is one of the most outstanding auction years I've seen in a while.
I haven't even looked, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and in particular, you know, you and I were talking about this before we went on air, Brian. Thursday's auction, which typically has been given the stigma of a parts auction.
Yeah, it used to be called that. Now you guys call it the Discovery Auction or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly.
Because you're discovering special little gems.
Doesn't it just sound more enticing?
I'm happy calling it a parts auction so people don't go to it so I can buy more.
We'll look into that. We'll look into that. But this, I wanted to like really make a point of letting you all know that the Thursday Discovery Auction this year is, in my opinion, one of the best Thursday night auctions that we have ever put on, either in Raleigh or Columbus. There are pens in there that have no issues or not missing any parts.
Is it just stuff that you had so much good stuff you can't have it? I mean, obviously, you limit to about, 100 pieces?
Yeah, a little over 100 pieces per auction.
So you had so much stuff that you had to throw it in Thursday? I mean, I know there's a couple of pieces in Thursday that I just have to have, so.
What? Yeah, I hope they're not the same ones I want.
We'll talk afterwards. I doubt it.
Yeah. But, I mean, basically the process is like getting everything that's been consigned and trying to develop a sense of what fits where. And, you know, it made sense to move things from one day to the next.
Well, you also make a point to keep it within a certain time frame so that it doesn't drag out to be 5 hours long. I mean,
which we could do, but that would be painful.
Well, wasn't there stories of, and maybe I'm thinking of Chicago, they used to have some auctions years ago that were like 250 lots.
Yeah, that wasn't us.
Yeah, I think it was Chicago. I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, it takes 2 hours as it is. And Terry's cooking
through
this.
Terry's pretty quick. Yeah. He knows when to wait. And the rest of your staff is awesome.
Absolutely. We got the Mike guys, Conway.
Yep, Mike Conway is phenomenal.
Yeah, and Becky's going to be back this year. She took a couple year absence. Matt's always back there. Matt's like the private Ryan in our organization.
And this is brother Matt.
Yeah, this is my brother Matt. He's kind of the unsung hero of the pen show. So he'll be back there. We usually have Don McGowan running the pens up and down the aisle.
Yep.
Or Don Lavin.
He makes an awesome Vanna White.
He does.
He always has a funny name tag on.
Don does.
Yes.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm not sure what that is. Maybe I'll get him something a little bit more permanent this year.
Well, you know, and that's actually a good point because he does a really great job. In some auctions, you know, it's like, okay, here's the pen. You walk it up and down the aisle. You know, you guys keep the thing moving, but you also, if someone legitimately wants to look at the pen on the spot, I mean, you at least, you know, you respect that and you give the person a little bit of time. I mean, we're not
but
talking.
But you don't let it drag out.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's the perfect balance,
Maple.
I think.
Yeah, but we make eye contact. There's a little wink and a nudge, and he brings it back. So
right.
We move on. Yeah. should we ask? I got to ask about Mabel. Do you remember Mabel?
Mabel.
What about 3 years ago now? 3 or 4 years ago?
Yep. It was a tray of Parker jotters, and no one had looked at the inscriptions until the night of the auction.
Are we talking about the House of Ill Repute?
Yes.
Mabel's Whorehouse and Grill.
Okay. You just kind of laid it out there, Brian.
Yep, a tray of jotters, probably 10 or 12 Parker jotters, and Terry said they all have kind of commercial advertising on them. And somebody said, well, what do they say? And it was
Joe's Garage,
Ted's Auto, and Auto Body or whatever, and right. Mabel's Whorehouse and Grill in Las Vegas, Nevada. And nobody believed whoever it was who had them in his hands. And so Mabel got passed around the room while everybody looked to see that it actually said that, and only in Vegas. I don't remember who bought them, but...
I don't remember. I tell you what, though.
You and Mike Kirk were sitting in the back. I thought you were either going to wet your pants or fall off your chair. You were laughing so hard.
I tell you what, if something like that ever shows up again, man, I'm going to seriously bid on that, because that's just too ridiculous. Nobody would ever believe you. But I'm looking through Thursdays. There's some really, really killer stuff here. I mean, there's a really good mix.
Absolutely.
You've had some years. I think last year you had a lot of multiple lots of Schaefer Balance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there was like 15 lots of it or something like that, and I was like, oh, it's killing me. You know, I mean, there were good deals.
Yeah,
you know, there were good deals, but. I mean, you know, 15 lots of the same thing got really old quick. And this year, there's a lot of hard rubber. There's a lot of vacuumatics, balances. You got dual folds. You got swans. You got enduros. You got, everything.
Yeah, just
that's just Thursday.
Did you see the last picture on the page down there?
On Thursday or Saturday?
On Thursday. Have you ever seen a Schnell that was Schnell before it was Schnell? The Master Pen Company.
No.
That I haven't seen. Yeah, actually, well, it's not the last one on the page, but yeah.
Well, it's, yeah.
That's a rare Master Pen Company. That I have not seen ever.
Yeah, that was the first one I had ever seen. And this is the, I mean, I think mostly this is why I do this, like what keeps me going is like, A, getting to meet with the people that consign the pens, but B, I get to see stuff that I've never seen before. And it's just, you know. That's a perfect example. I'm guessing there are a lot of people that have not seen that pen, didn't even know that there was a company that existed before Schnell.
Before Schnell, yeah. Well, there's probably not a whole lot of Schnell collectors.
Yeah.
Would you probably say so? The knowledge is not widely available. Maybe Schnell people know it, but.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's a good point.
But that's interesting. Yeah, I'll be looking forward to seeing that. But there's a couple of pieces, and that's just Thursday. Saturday night is just, you know, I mean, as if that wasn't good enough. I look at the first 10 pieces on the page, and I can't decide which one I don't want to bid on.
Just bid them all.
Oh, I'll let you know.
She'll let me know.
I'm in charge of the number.
I mean, come on. You got a pick coin filler?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously? A pick holy water sprinkler?
Yeah.
We've never seen one of those. I mean, you got an oversized Dunn, hand engraved Conklin. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Well, maybe we should talk about the whole show in general. I mean, there are, maybe not for you, but there are other events that are taking place at the show.
Oh, come on.
I had a conversation with Terry earlier, it's either late last week or earlier this week.
Yeah, a few days.
And there are other things going on, and he was actually quite excited about it.
Yeah, there are. So, Ben, you care to speak to some of the other special events that are going on?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's one of the fun things about the show, aside from, you know, just the auction and buying and selling pens and the trading rooms that go on. We have a lot of workshops. We're going to have the normal Susan Worth cadre of workshops that she puts on, improving your writing and different things that she puts forth. She's a real hoot when she gets a group of people together.
Oh, I'm sure.
Let's see. Roger Cromwell is going to be giving one of his seminars. I believe his are usually on how to invest in pens and, you know,
how to buy and sell. Yeah.
How to buy and sell. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Rick Propaz is going to be
yes,
doing a seminar.
On Pelicans. His
all you ever wanted to know about Pelicans and more in 50 minutes.
Yeah, and this, I think that's kind of a new thing. I hadn't really seen that in our
list
of seminars before.
Yep.
So that's kind of a cool new addition. You know, we're going to have a couple of authors, debuting books. David Shepard's going to be there signing a book.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's going to be at, Pandemonium's? Yeah, Pandemonium said they're going to have him at his table, but I don't know if he's...
Yep.
Does he have his own table, or is he...
No, I think he's going to be working through Pandemonium.
Okay.
Cool.
That's kind of my understanding. But, you know, things could change at the last minute, and he could have his own table. But you should look for him, sure.
Yeah. And then Alfonso Muir will be there with his new book on Conklin's.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about. And he's actually going to be doing a seminar as well.
Yep.
Have you seen this book yet?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited to see it, too. It's really needed, I think.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely. I love Conklin's. Like, when you asked me what my Holy Grail pen was, there was, you know, Conklin Hognose is my second Holy Grail pen. So, y'all know what the Hognose is?
I don't know what the Hognose is.
Okay. The Hognose is one of their earliest overlay pens. And the filling mechanism, instead of being like the typical wide ring, mm-hmm. It's kind of a thin, thick raised band. Highly engraved. I mean, I think there's a Hognose in Fischler and Snyder's book.
Okay.
Beautiful pens. Like, probably the most beautiful early self-filling pens that were made. Gorgeous. Gorgeous
cool.
pens.
Very cool. I heard from Terry that Deb Basil is doing two seminars again, but one is on italic writing and one on Sunday is on cursive, which
right.
is new.
Cursive, italic writing, yeah, which hasn't been done.
Really. Yeah, that's new.
No one's really had the cojones to explore that, you know, with people. And
that's
she's taking it on. You know, she's really taking it on, which is great.
She's amazing.
She is amazing.
She does most of the Pens for Kids seminars for the Pen Collectors of America these days, and she is just awesome.
She's great.
So I think next year we need to work really hard to convince Deb that she needs to hold a night seminar for all the vendors. And maybe we need to make that a Raleigh Anderson Pens sponsors pizza and cursive or something, because wouldn't that be a blast?
Yeah, it would be fun. Well, you know, we've talked about this before. So the problem is, and I think there was talk about doing it in, what, Baltimore or Philly?
Mm-hmm.
But we were just, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we were just too exhausted, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We can't. That's the sad thing is we can't get to some of these seminars. I'd love to go to see Rick and Alfonso, and I'd love to do the Deb Basil thing. And Ron Zorn's giving another pen repair seminar. I mean, you can't. There's always something to learn.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think too. Just to give you a quick anecdote, my wife went down to Richmond, Virginia today. She drove 2.5 hours for an hour and a half meeting. That was one way.
Yeah.
Sounds like Hugh's commute.
You know, I think this podcast is a perfect example of where the pen community is headed. There's no reason that any of the seminars couldn't be either video streamed or taped and then re-aired. I think if our purpose in having shows and being a community is to kind of uplift and enrich each other's understanding of what the hobby is about, there's no reason we shouldn't use the medium that we have at our disposal, and which is what you guys are doing with this podcast. It's a really good thing. We just need to get NPR to pick you up.
We're working on that.
Well, now that we've had you on, you know, they'll be interested.
We're going to get a phone call in 30 minutes, guaranteed.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Yeah. Any funny stories that you can share? I know it's not on our script, but without naming
going
names.
Going off script?
Going off script, baby.
Oh, no.
Off-roading.
Funny stories from pen shows, you mean?
Yeah, without naming names or identifying the guilty parties.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Just some of our listeners don't go to shows, and we've shared a number of, you know, wacky conversations or 3 a.m, you know, sneaking down to the DC Ink table to see who's there kind of thing. I know Terry has been very gracious because, like, 2 years in a row, I left something in the small trading room and I had to have him go and go through security and let me in. And anybody consistently, besides me, forget things, or besides Bert Heiserman, anybody steal a whole tray of cream puffs, or I don't know.
Well, there are certainly. I mean, I have an endless number of, like, you know, funny memories.
Okay.
Whether they could be, like, strung into you know, words to make a story is another thing. I think what it brings up for me is the fact that you know, we lost several kind of important pen people this year.
Yeah, it was a bad year.
And the first person that came to mind when you asked me if I had any funny stories was Frank Tedesco. I never heard Frank start or finish a statement that didn't end up being funny somehow. I mean, he was certainly a measured man, and he, you know, thought about what he said, but the way he spun words, you know, it just always ended up making you, you know, bust out in laughter. You know, I remember Frank telling me one time that it may not be funny for the person that was on the other end of the story, but you know, I think in general it is a funny story, and kind of it's a good anecdote for, you know, the kind of the community that we're in. I think Frank sold a pen to somebody, and the guy was, you know, elated to get the pen, walked away from his table, and I think went and showed the pen to somebody else, or so anyway, the guy came back and said, "No, I'm not exactly sure that this is the pen I want," or blah blah blah. And
what?
Yeah. So
it's not Walmart here.
So and Lord only knows, I could be mixing two stories, but basically Frank, you know, I said, "Well, how much did I charge you for that pen?" And, you know, the guy told him the amount. And so the Frank got the money out of his wallet and walked around the front of the table and set it on fire, the money. Something like that. I'm sure I'm confusing two stories. But the point is that kind of stuff goes on all the time at Penn.
That's true.
Wow.
There was a hand-slapping event at one show that involved a mention of prison, and Bert Heiserman. Yeah, Bert Heiserman stealing that tray of cream puffs, which is one of my favorite memories of him, and he was just giggling like a schoolgirl.
There was one story I just heard recently about a guy who was trying to get trying to get the seller to go down on the price of the pen, and he says, "No, I can't. You know, I mean, I don't have much into it." And he kept going down and down and down, and finally, the guy put the pen down on the dealer put the pen down on the table, and he smashed it.
that sounds like Bob Bader.
it might have been Rob.
Yeah, I think it's Rob Bader.
But, you know, he's just thinking, I'd rather destroy it than, you know, sell it for that price, you know.
Yeah, we're contentious.
I think of it as passionate.
Well, passion. Yeah, you can paint it that way, but.
Well, the parts are worth more than the whole, right? For the most part, so.
Yeah.
So the show then goes. It really starts. It starts on Wednesday.
We're missing a whole day.
Yeah, for the hardcore nuts. Yeah, we could be. OMG. We can leave tonight after the podcast if you want.
Yeah, but you know,
we're not packed.
Obviously, we want people to come on Wednesday or as soon as they can get there. I will tell you from experience that Wednesday is a very quiet day.
Yeah.
The past couple years, and I think why I'm mentioning it is because I would like people to come, you know, earlier, but they just, you know, they're for logistical reasons, people can't make it on Wednesday. But technically, yes, Wednesday is a day where we have at least one room open for pen trading. And we'd like see people in there. I mean, in Raleigh it happens, but in Columbus it hasn't happened so much. So, you know, if you can come on Wednesday. I mean, typically what happens is that, you know, I open the ballroom and whoever I let in first, I steal all the good pens before you guys get there. So,
and that's what goes in next year's auction.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
Thursday's a good day.
Yeah, Thursday's a good day.
We get there Thursday morning and get set up. And Brian shops. And Thursday's nice because it's not as busy, so you get to see more people. We keep adding more and more tables, so I think that one wall when you walk in the small room is just like Anderson Avenue now.
Yeah.
Terry, you know, I think it's probably nice for organizers. Terry knows that whole wall is just, oh, Anderson. We're good. Yeah,
don't let us ever buy six tables. Just don't.
Why not?
I know
you guys have got the merch to fill them.
We do.
We don't have the car space, although we have a hitch now. So maybe.
Oh my God! Don't get me.
Got a hitch for the Acura.
My God.
Yeah, we went to Virginia and back and picked up this 6-foot.
Yeah, it's a Parker. Case. It's a 1950s Parker display case.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's killer. It's a killer case.
See, I thought that story went somewhere different. I thought you were going to say you went and picked up a 1950s Parker, one of those promotional vehicles. You know, the ones that look cars they used to drive around.
Yeah, the little Vacumatic vehicle or whatever.
Yeah. Like the one that Jeff Parker has a picture of.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this is a big 6-foot-long glass in solid wood case. It's lighted. It's locked. It's got drawers that pull out. It's...
Beautiful.
It's amazing. It's an amazing case.
How'd you find that in Virginia?
A friend of ours had it.
Oh, okay.
We knew a guy.
We knew a guy.
You know him too, actually.
You know him too, yeah. He'll be at the show.
First we buy a company, then we buy a case. I mean, soon enough, the man's whole workshop will be in our house.
Well, yeah. we can work on that.
No.
So Thursday, pretty much 9 to 6 at the show. Wine and cheese party, 6 o'clock. Auction, 8. Fridays, it starts getting a little more busy.
Right, yeah, we let the public in on Friday about 1 o'clock.
Yep.
You have to be there at 1 o'clock if you want to get in.
Yeah.
Well stated. Well stated.
It's actually Friday's decently trafficked, and then Friday night. Now I know that the time has changed. The Pandemonium pizza party is at 6:30.
Yeah, I saw that there was a change about that. I'm not exactly clear on that myself.
Let me enlighten you. According to Terry. He and Pandemonium decided to move it to 6:30 because those of you who are going to be new to the pizza party or those of you who are considering going next year, Pandemonium has been sponsoring a pizza party forever.
Mm-hmm.
But the pizza goes fast.
Yeah.
Like really fast.
Well, see, that's why I always get in there like a little bit late and sit in the back. And then that way I just reach around.
If you can get any left.
Are you a crust man, Brian?
What's that?
Are you a crust man?
If it's thin crust, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So they decided together to push it back to 6:30 so that those of us who might have a last-minute customer don't go hungry.
Right.
And it gives everybody time to, you know, run upstairs or do whatever. So the pizza party will be from 6:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
And then there is a PCA general meeting. We have an annual general meeting, and we will be providing coffee and cookies. So you get pizza and soda and I think breadsticks from Pandemonium, and then dessert from the PCA. So there's your dinner and dessert for that night.
Yikes.
Yep.
It's a lot of carbs, Lisa.
Well, I'll skip the breadsticks. I'll be working it off in nervous energy because I hate speaking in front of a big ballroom.
I didn't mean for you it was a lot of carbs. I just meant in general, that's a lot of carbs.
Yeah. So that's Friday. Saturday, pretty much full public.
Yeah.
9 to 5, lots of seminars. Dessert party. I like this. I like that the show ends at 5, and then there's a little over 2 hours for you to go and get dinner.
Correct.
7:15 to 9 is a dessert party, and the auction is 8 to 10. So that's a long – Saturday is the longest day. Absolutely. It's just
– For sure.
Yeah, but it's the best.
It is the best, yeah. So that, and then Sunday, a little bit later start, thank goodness, not by much, 10 to 5, and a couple seminars that day, and we call it another successful Ohio weekend.
We hope so. We hope so. Dad also wanted to mention, again, this year he will be having a couple of TV interviews and maybe an article in the Columbus Dispatch.
Yep. Awesome. Yeah, they talked to Lisa a couple years ago.
Oh, beautiful. God. Beautiful.
No, they...
No?
I said, it's a funny story. You should bring cash.
It's a funny
wear
story.
You should wear comfortable shoes, right. Take frequent breaks, and I said, bring cash, and I said, more than you think you need, only because you get caught up and carried away, but I made it sound, they made
bring
it sound
lots like, of cash.
Like everything was right. Super high priced, and it's not.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, we're not, you know, this is not the bartering system. We do all have bills to pay and
yeah, cash talks, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
BS walks, so
magic beans walk, yeah.
But no, it's a great show. You guys do an awesome job. I would not want to be on that end of it. I've helped out at some of the auctions. Oh, fun.
Yeah, you should try it sometime.
I couldn't do it because right now it's tough enough as it is because I some days I can't even walk around the room, you know. But to have to be on your end of it?
You have a lot of tables and a lot of merchandise that you're trying to, you know, people come to you.
They do.
Very specific.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we you know, for us, we get to buy, we get to sell, but for us, it's the people. And Doug in Canada, honey, sweetheart, if you're watching this, get there. Just go.
Get your butt over there.
Done. We haven't seen you in a couple years. Get your butt there.
Don't come on a bus, though, all right? stay away from the...
Carpool, baby.
Yeah.
I think he and John are going to drive down together. Honey, just do it. Come down. I miss you. I need a hug. So.
I mean, if it's a magic bus, it's okay.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness.
But, no, we get to see people we don't always see at all the shows, or we only see a couple times a year. And everybody's just so happy to be there and so friendly, and it's like a big extended family reunion.
Absolutely.
With pens and ink and all sorts of great stuff.
Yeah, well, and similar to what you said, Ben, earlier about, you know, the pen show wouldn't be the show without people like us. And we've said it before.
That sounds pompous.
Well, no, not us, but, you know, without the dealers and the people coming, yeah. It's really what it's all about. It's,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, after your first pen show or two and the novelty wears off, it doesn't really wear off.
What's going on for you, Brian?
No. But you know what I mean? Like
kidding.
Okay, you go there and there's pens and that's great. Right. You're going to buy something regardless.
Right.
Or you're going to find something or whatever, but the chance to talk to these people, you only see, you know, we only see you twice a year.
Right.
It's always a good time. And all these other people you may see once a year, twice a year, new friends we make.
Yeah, it's great to get caught up and you find out about people's kids or grandkids or you know, so-and-so got married or moved or, you know, whatever, and it's so awesome to get caught up. And but it's not like, you know, at meetings or conferences sometimes you go to and it's superficial. I mean, you sincerely want to know how these people are doing.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, it's people first, you know, pens are icing on the cake, so.
For sure.
But, awesome. Anything else we want to cover on that?
Just go.
Yeah, just go. I mean, you know, it's I say it about a lot of shows, but Columbus is one of my favorites. It's got a good mix.
You hadn't gone until a couple years ago, and now, you know, come hell or high water, we're going.
Yeah, I mean, if there was only one show I can make a year, it'd be Columbus.
Really?
I love it. I mean, my first experience with the show, I went with Lisa.
It's the auction.
It was the auction, but you know, I mean. It really reeled me in, you know. It's like, yeah, I'll never forget that rush, you know. It's like, it was like I was doing eBay before that, and I'm like, well, this is, you know, I won that pen, and it's just, it was a big rush, and cool people and just cool events, and you can immerse in your nerdity, so to speak.
Well, it's big enough to be a big show, but it's well organized. There are enough activities that it doesn't feel... you know, like D.C. and L.A., they're just huge and exhausting. But Columbus just feels comfortable.
Right.
And you don't feel rushed. You don't feel crammed. You know, it's just a really awesome show.
Yeah, if you can't find what you're looking for in Columbus, I don't know that it
doesn't exist. You don't need it.
It doesn't exist. Yeah, you don't need it.
Yep.
So... do we want to mention real quick a couple things that we just got?
You mean product or stuff some in new the stuff. Store?
Either or. You want to give a you want to give a little store update?
Store update. OMG, carpet is in. So carpet is excited.
In. Carpet is in. Slat walls up.
We need applause.
I'm sorry. Keep talking there for a second.
All right. Carpet is in. The carpet guys were awesome. It looks beautiful. we got the paper fixtures in. The bookcases, I believe, are going in tomorrow while I pack. And it's really coming together. It looks amazing. Our leasing agent came in today. She walked in and went... Oh my God, it looks great.
Yeah, so, and then on Monday's coming up, when we get back from the show, we're going to be, that's the full move-in day with all the vintage
all the cases.
and the other cases.
Yep.
Putting it together.
Yep, my mom has come up to stay with the kids and to help out with the store, so we'll be making some trips over tomorrow, kind of pack for the show, pack for the store. And then we will officially be open at the store by the 16th, if not earlier.
Ben, you should come down.
Did we tell you about this?
No, did you guys open a separate building?
We're opening a retail store.
Okay, because I knew you had like redone the basement.
Oh no, this is a retail space.
No, this is a full space. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should come
up. That's awesome.
It's very cool. It's got gorgeous tin ceilings, and it's in a beautiful space.
You guys posted some pictures, right? I feel like I saw.
Yeah, I just posted a couple things up yesterday.
Okay.
So that was before the carpet. Actually, on Facebook, I have some pictures of the carpet and stuff. So.
Oh, you took pictures of the carpet?
I took one.
Okay. Well, every day we go in and we work on it in between shipping and ordering and all that. But we will have a number of things that will be new.
Yeah.
So we're excited about that.
Now, are you guys going to be selling vintage as well as new pens?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a full service pen shop.
Full
Absolutely.
Service.
Absolutely, including repairs on site.
That's amazing. Yeah. Great.
So.
Yeah. You'll have to come up.
I will do it.
And we'll have pen club meetings, and we're going to try and work on a couple special events with
seminars
and such. Oh, yeah.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Yeah, we got cool stuff. Let's see. We also got a couple new things in. Are they up on the site or no?
They are up on the site.
Ooh, look
at if it's in our script, it's on the site.
Well, this morning...
I didn't work today. You don't think I actually worked, did you? Oops.
This morning, we got in Pitch Black Field Notes. The brand new one.
It's pretty sweet looking.
It's cool. It's just solid black. It's a dot graph. So dot is hot right now.
It's dot grid.
It says dot graph.
So it's dot graph.
It's a dot grid, yeah.
It's dot, yeah.
Dot's hot right now, baby. These just came in. Got them in this morning. The standard three-pack of field notes, and it's really cool.
This is cool. The only thing that, what's the word I'm looking at here, is this actually replaces something else that's equally as cool.
I thought Red Blooded was cool.
Red Blooded is completely sold out. We actually only have two copies left. But Pitch Black replaces Red Blooded. So, what is that?
That's mine.
That's yours. Okay.
Yeah, but Red Blooded is cool.
Pitch Black's pretty cool.
Pitch Black is very cool. Field Notes just does really great stuff.
Now, Ben, do you use any kind of pocket notebook, Field Notes, or anything like that?
That would be a negatory.
Oh. I carry one of these with me every day. These things are great.
I keep it all up here, Brian.
You don't need no stinking notebook.
My mind's a steel trap.
There you go.
Steel rusts eventually, right?
And Brian,
baby.
What else? What else came in there?
We ordered these in August, and they finally came. Was it yesterday?
I think so. Yeah.
This is the Delta Serena in blue. Now we have the red and the black. And they have
gorgeous.
The rhodium plated, the smoky rhodium plated trim. Beautiful, beautiful nib. It's got some really cool engraving on it. It's kind of hard to see on the camera here. But nice smoky rhodium plated section there. Cartridge converter, and it's by Delta. It's got a roller clip.
Very cool.
It writes like a Delta, and it's so inexpensive, it's just hard to believe.
Yep, very cool.
Super Italian resin. It's really a beautiful pen. So these are in. We only got a couple of them. They didn't have much. So we have a bunch of those on the site now. So
Let's see. We also got restocked on Scribble. We had a huge run on Scribble this week. So came in, it went out, we got more in. And we're getting a number of new Organic Studios Inc. I hope it arrives tomorrow before we leave.
Oh, yeah.
What is that stuff? Is it actually organic?
No, it's made by a chemistry student, so it's kind of cool.
Okay, so it's organic. He's an organic chemist?
Yes.
He doesn't use, like, you know...
No.
Free-range chicken or...
Free-range chicken. That'll be the new color.
Oh, my God.
Any tomatoes or anything like that.
See, now, we have someone in our chat who tastes all of the ink. So, Aziza, this question is for you. How would free-range chicken ink taste?
Yeah.
Like chicken, I know. Like turkey. That'd be cool. Flavored ink. You know, there are scented inks. Flavored ink would be interesting.
It's next.
For the connoisseur.
Yeah, not here. Not here.
No.
Not going to do it again.
No. Oh, my God, no. Let's see. Anything else?
You got some shout-outs, huh?
I do. On a personal note, we had a bit of, I'll just say we had a rough week, family-wise. Mm-hmm. And so those of you who sent us notes, like Aziza and Stephen Brown, a couple of other, Hugh and Carol, thank you. You guys rock. It was a bit of a rough week. We heard from Ed Capizzi, and Brian, you're going to meet with him?
Ed and I are going to hang out during the PCA meeting. We're going to be in the back. We're going to be throwing popcorn. We're going to be
Rabble rousers, good to know. Okay.
Someone's got to do it, right?
I need to have my bodyguards kick you out then.
And yes, Ed, there are two Eds. There's Eddie G and there's Ed
C and Eddie G.
Ed C and Eddie G. So
Eddie G, I promise you will never be replaced, honey.
Should I introduce Ed C to Ed G?
Are they going to be there? I thought we weren't going to see them again until... John and Rachel sent us some mail, and that was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice.
We got some great mail this week from a bunch of people.
Gary sent something.
Yep, Gary L. in Canada. They have a great little card. We got a bunch of mail. Apparently people are just as excited about our store as we are. You guys need to come down.
Come on down.
Send us an email, even if it's on Sunday when we're closed. We will totally open the store because we'll be there anyway.
Yeah, it's like a half a mile from the house. So, yeah, I mean, it's awesome. No big deal to walk down there.
And we also heard from Thomas, as in the Thomas.
The Thomas.
The Thomas. It was so awesome to get a Thomas hug in D.C. That was so freaking cool. So, Thomas, yes, we will bring Esterbrook Nibs to Columbus. Come on by.
Probably more than anybody else.
Probably.
Probably more than Esterbrook had.
Yeah, so that's...
Ben, do you have any people you'd like to give a shout-out to?
Shout-out?
Oh, well, first of all, to you guys for hosting me.
Oh, we had a blast. We've been talking about this forever. Oh, my God, Ben's going to be a blast.
It almost didn't happen.
Let me tell you, it takes a lot of guts to put a May hoarder on any kind of a recorded anything. But, just to everybody who's coming to the show, a total shout-out to you guys. You know, like we've talked about in the podcast here today, it's all about you. So we appreciate everyone that, puts their day-to-day lives down for 4 or 5 days, leaves their families, gets on planes, trains, automobiles, and the occasional bus.
John Martinson.
I can't wait to see people. I'm going to get in the car early tomorrow and head towards Columbus, so I'm excited.
Ink it up and go to the show, babe.
Ink it up.
How far of a drive is it for you?
It's not far. It's like 8 hours.
Okay.
Less. Yeah, it's like 6.5, something like that. Okay. But I'll stop at every antique mall along the way and see what I can find, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, if we ever drive behind you, we just won't bother.
Yeah.
Because you'll have picked it clean.
Well, it's like on our way down to Dallas, we take this, everybody goes pretty much the same route, and we're always like a day behind Pandemonium.
Yeah.
and like, I think one time we stopped in at a place, and they said, someone was here just yesterday. Yeah. It was a lady, a couple. I'm like, oh, shit. That was it. We didn't stop anymore after that. Yeah,
we just gave it up.
Yeah.
But, no, it's fun to see what everybody's picked up, and everybody's just so happy to show their finds. You know, nobody's hoarding pens and hiding them around. They're like, oh, my God, look what I got.
What do you mean no one's hoarding pens? There are not pens back there. There are not pens back here.
Except you and Ben.
Yeah. I need to pack my case tonight for my little show-and-tell pens. I always bring them, but...
When are you guys hitting the road?
Tomorrow night,
probably this time.
You're going to drive like halfway and...
Yeah, we're going to drive all the way.
You're going to drive the whole way? You're going to leave in the evening?
Yeah.
Yeah, we leave at 8. We'll stop and sleep for a couple hours, and we'll get there just in time to start drinking coffee.
It's dangerous. Bonkers.
We do it all the time.
This is show number 14. This will be trip number 15 for the year, if you count Virginia.
Well, just make sure you pull over if you get tired. My dad... is the worst offender of driving beyond the normal hours of, you know, whatever. So
yeah, we're real good at it. If the deal is if we can't, you know, we trade off if we can, and if we can't, then you know, there's no judgment call. It's better to be safe than sorry. So
yeah,
and we always we factor in sleep time or and that kind of stuff in the travel plan. So. You know, we get there when we get there, especially it's Thursday, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody in the chat, my mom is here. She's probably watching downstairs on her laptop, so everybody say hi, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
She came in to hang out with the kids, and she'll probably shop and do quilting, and she's going to help with the store next week. So everybody say hi, Mom, and... She'll take care of stuff while we're gone.
So nice. You don't want to bring her to Ohio?
We don't have room in the car.
No.
She'd have to go in the U-Haul trailer.
You've never seen our car when we pull in, have you?
No, I have. I saw it in Raleigh this year.
Oh, you did? Okay. Okay.
Yep. Jam-packed.
Yeah,
it was.
There's no room. And ever since Boston, we no longer have room for a third person. Because in Boston we bought a cart, and probably one of the
Long
better
Island
things that we've done.
A cart.
Or Long Island, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yep.
One of the better things that we've ever done. But that now occupies the third seat in the back. So.
Yeah. So, oh, there's Mom.
Oh, Mom just popped in.
Cool.
All right.
Hi, Mom. I think we're done.
All right. Are we done? I wanna thank Ben Mayhorder for taking time out. I know it was a little struggle trying to get connected here today and yesterday, but we appreciate it. It's fun, and we hope to have you on again sometime.
Yep.
Maybe before the next Penn show or something.
Sure.
I'll always welcome here in our family. I think that's about it. So if you have comments, suggestions, or topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912.
You can catch us online. Send us an email.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net. Lisa apparently doesn't have an email.
I'm chatting.
Doesn't care. Doesn't want spam. I don't know.
Yeah, just chat me. No, lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/andersonpens.
We do have a Facebook page, facebook.com/andersonpens.
The blog is blog.andersonpens.net.
And the website, for those of you not paying attention, andersonpens.net.
And for this week, of course, ohiopenshow.com, I think is the correct address for that.
That's correct. See you guys in Ohio.
So
awesome.
We will see you, Ben, and in a couple days. And thanks a lot, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And we will see you next week for the Ohio Show recap. Good night,
everyone. Bye, guys.